Songbird, Swipe, and then who is he? I'll put Mr. Z to win the Belmont.
Yeah. Oh man, Mr. Z, he's coming back to Oakland.
Two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared, who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner, there's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Haltzman. We are back. This is Blinkers Off. What's up, dude?
Hey, man. Yeah, we're back from the holiday. How was your Christmas?
It was great. You know, I skied some slopes and got a suntan. You know, it was crazy. I went whitewater rafting as well. It was really fun.
I was going to say, it's amazing. You know, usually here in Missouri, we don't get snow per se, but it's usually very cold. But yeah, Christmas Day was extremely warm for December, and then we got 8.5 inches of rain through the next 2 days. So, yep, Midwest weather, gotta love it. This has been the strangest Christmas I think I've ever been a part of, for sure.
Yeah, I'm actually doing this podcast in my houseboat. My house is directly below me underwater still. It's been nuts. It doesn't really felt like Christmas, the holiday season, which is nice, you know, because it's not cold and brutal, but hopefully, you know, come Oaklawn, starting back up here in a couple weeks, we're not now getting the snow, because then, you know, that would pretty much be our luck. You know, we were down there last year, in February for the, Southwest and got snowed in and iced in. So I guess there's still time for the snow to hit. But right now I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you're right. January 15th is a huge cold front, I'm sure, that'll hang over Arkansas for 2 months, because that just seems to be what happens. But, oh, we'll hope for the best. But, yeah, right now it's weird, and it's good. A lot of horses are getting workouts in at Oaklawn right now because the weather's so nice. And I do think it rained there on and off yesterday and today, so some sloppy workouts for today. But yeah, it's starting to roll. Everything's starting to get going down there, and that's exciting.
I'm gonna mix this up a little bit. What was the best thing you got for Christmas?
Oh, the best thing I got for Christmas. Well, I already told you about it, and if people don't know, I've never seen us. My laptop was pretty brutally bad. It had been dropped. It like the paint was coming off of it because I've used it so much. So I got a new laptop. So when I'm updating Racing Dudes and sending out those simple plays, it's no longer coming from a laptop that looks like it came in about 1995.
Yeah, you no longer have to be near an outlet so it can be plugged in constantly. So that's good.
That's true. Yeah, my computer, that my old one would last about 3 minutes before it would die without being plugged in. Where this one, it lasted 3 days of pretty decent work before it finally said the battery's getting low. So yeah, that's kind of exciting.
So if you're in Hot Springs here the next couple months and happen to walk into maybe a lobby at a hotel, one of the finest hotels in Hot Springs, you just might see the Racing Dudes out working on their laptops, and Haltzman will be cordless now.
That's right. Yeah, I won't have to drag the cord around. And yeah, so if you're staying at the Knights Inn, that's where we'll be. And you come say hi to it.
Yeah, I'm sure your brand new laptop will get jacked at the Knights Inn before too long. So
yeah. It's funny because we did used to stay there, and what we would do and you know this, we would get like eight people in a room in the Knights Inn, and it'd have two beds in it, and we'd have like a blow up mattress and this and that, and so literally the room would be $50, and we'd split it eight ways. Those were the days, right?
Plus, you felt safer by numbers. You know, you felt like if something were to happen, there were a lot of you.
That's true. We could fight them off, maybe.
Yeah, no doubt. I swear, I'm 100% serious about that thought. The best thing I got for Christmas was I got a Rebel, like a big, Rebel photo thing you can get from Cody Photography, like the winter circle and the thing they put together. And I got a nice big frame and to hang on my wall. So just need the Arkansas Derby. I know you have that one. You have both of them, actually. But, starting to build my collection of American Pharoah memorabilia.
Yeah, and those pictures are great, you know. I look at them every day and think, man, were we really in that? Because that's kind of crazy. But, yeah. Yep, it's cool. Yeah, you got to get that Derby one, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty neat to tell people, family and whatnot, you know, like, hey, not only is this the Triple Crown winner in this, but hey, there I am right there. I'm the goofy guy smiling.
Well, and I always tell people it's kind of cool. Like, we've been in winter circles where there's hundreds of people, and there's American Pharoah and the Rebel in the Arkansas Derby, and we're one of maybe like 12 to 15 people in the winner's circle. It's incredible.
Yeah, and the Arkansas Derby's even better because, you know, the Zayats weren't there, so it was just us and a few other people. And so it's like us, Jimmy Barnes, Victor Espinoza, and the governor of Arkansas. So,
yeah. Well, you remember when we were walking out, they thought that we actually were the owners? Remember, I don't know who it was. Was it the governor or some other guy? He was like, oh, you guys got a hell of a horse. We're like, yeah, thank you.
We wished us good luck in Kentucky. We're like, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. That was one of those moments you won't forget, you know?
No, sir. All right. So let's, we've been away for a little while. So today's show, we're going to discuss, you know, some of the news that we missed, you know, that had happened. We've covered it on the website, but didn't really talk about it to you guys. It's been a few weeks since we – last time we had our podcast, we did the Derby draft, you know, the Kentucky – or the Triple Crown draft, I should say. So that was the last time you heard from us. Lots has happened since then. We'll discuss some of the big news that's happened since our holiday break, give rapid-fire selections for stakes races around the country, and announce the final 2015 Racing Dudes Divisional Rankings. Let's go. In the news, what you missed, what we've missed, you know, what it's been 2 weeks since we last talked to you guys, and really we did the Triple Crown draft, and my number one pick, More Spirit, ran just that following weekend in the Grade One for Charity at Los Al, and did it quite well, won the race, and looked really good, and I was kind of nervous about that race, so. Let's, More Spirit wins the charity. That's my first one.
Yeah, and it was a good race from him for sure. He was a bit green throughout the race, and I think maybe on the backstretch you might be thinking, man, I don't know if he's going to run or he's maybe not going to run that well anyway. And he ended up doing fairly well, and he beat a pretty decent horse, I think, in Taves on Ice. He went and caught him and did it very easily, so. I mean, if you're you right now, I think you got to be pretty happy. That was a pretty solid effort.
Yeah, I was impressed. I thought the really impressive part for him was, I completely agree. He seemed green. It seemed like he was kind of fighting Gary Stevens and didn't really, didn't really want to participate too well. I was a little worried. And then he kind of turned it around and went really wide, coming into the turn and down the stretch, and it seemed like he's kind of figuring it out as he went down and really did a nice effort down the stretch to win the race and did it quite easily. And, you know, Bob Baffert had said before the race he believed one of his horses would win. He thought More Spirit would win the race. He was just hoping that he knew he needed an education in this race. And hoping he could win in the process. So, I think it, both of them worked. He got an education, and the horse won a Grade One. So, I think it sets him up nicely for next year, and I think he's got a lot of options.
Yeah, I don't think he's Dortmund, and I don't think he's American Pharoah, obviously, but you don't have to maybe be either one of those horses to have a real successful year with this crop that we've seen so far. So, and you know, the upside is there. And so I think you said it perfectly, or you or Baffert or whoever there said, hey, he needs to win and he needs to get an education. He's got both. So,
yeah.
So far, so good is how I would label that one.
Yeah. I think the main thing that people remember right now, I mean, this is a horse that I obviously like a lot, but don't look at this year like last year. You're not going to see a horse this part of the year and say, okay, that horse, well, like More Spirit could very well run in the Derby, and I think that is Baffert's probably Derby horse, but you can't, I mean, just to say, well, that's, you know, that horse reminds me a lot of American Pharoah, or that horse is a lot like Dortmund. It's just not, you can't, right. This is going to be a totally different year, and you got to prepare yourself. And I think for a handicapper, you've got to think of that way, so that way you don't kind of get, you know, your brain doesn't start thinking, well, you know, it's going to be like last year. I got to pick favorite. I got to pick this. You know, be very, very, it could be very wide open down the stretch here. So just keep that in mind.
Yes, definitely.
Racing Dudes teamed up with Nick Saul to benefit Retired Racehorse Project. If you've been following the website, you saw the press release we did. Something we're really, really proud of, and just kind of starting. It'll take off more once the season kicks off here in 2016. But Nick Saul is a local company to us here in Southwest Missouri, and they have a really a natural horse care product that takes care of kind of like a vet response, vet wellness for equine health, and you know they have an amazing deal where they give 3% back to the Retired Racehorse Project, and we have teamed up with them and decided to match that. So now 6%. Of all sales on the equine side, Retired Racehorse Project benefits them. So that's something we're really proud of and really pumped up. And, you know, it really does work. We've been using it for a while. So that's something I'm super – it's probably the most proud thing that we've done in a while.
Well, it is. And, you know, that's something that we have wanted to get into for a long time, talking about helping the retired racehorses, because that is so important. And, you know, people need to realize these horses that we're betting on and love, 99% of them don't go off to stud, and they've got to live another life somewhere. And so that's something from day one we've kind of wanted to get into and help, and now we have the opportunity to. And, you know, you want to help, and you want to wait till the right opportunity comes along where you're actually making a difference. And this is going to. So, yeah, I feel really good about it. And like I say, it's a good product as well, very good product, and a local product, you know, right here where we are. So it's really a good partnership.
Yeah, definitely keep that in mind, everyone, and, you know, follow us on the website. Ask us any questions you have. Nick Saul is the name of the product, and you have product for humans as well. We, you know, both Halterman and I use. So make sure you go check that out. Ohm Dominates. The Mathis Brothers Mile, Om has turned into being quite a quality horse. In 10 starts, he's won half of them. He's five wins, a second, and two thirds in 10 starts. So this guy has turned out to be quite the dominant force on the turf.
Yeah, you know what? I'm really proud of this horse because, you know, you'd hate for the horse to have that label of you beat American Pharoah, win a maiden, and that's it, and you never hear from him again. He's really, like you said, become a really good horse on the turf. I'm also proud of him because I picked him to win, and he actually did this time. Usually when I pick against him, he wins, and when I pick with him, he loses. So he was great, though. Very, very good performance.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Last time I picked him, you did as well. I picked him before, and you didn't. He won. You picked him the same time I did. Cost me, so I appreciate him battling through that jinx you have. So,
yeah, it was tough for him, but he did it. No, it wasn't tough at all, actually, this time. He did it with ease.
Hey, Bird at the Wire, how about that horse? Amazing rally. I mean, I think this might be, as far as that, we had a lot of stakes races at Santa Anita. We'll talk about here in a second. Day after Christmas, opening day for Santa Anita. But this race was probably the most exciting. I mean, from last to first, Bird at the Wire wins the Grade 1 Le Bray Stakes. And this is a horse, it's not like just a fluke. We've seen this horse earlier in the year at Gulfstream, and Churchill. So I was happy to see this after the horse ran huge.
I wasn't happy at all because I had the second place finisher on top and thought she was home free. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I did have her on top, but I was first wire. Yeah, I was happy to see the horse run well. You know, that's a horse a lot of people thought was going to win the Kentucky Oaks, and people were excited about that horse. And you know what? Maybe the shortening up to 7 furlongs could be a one-turn sprinter type of horse that needs a little bit of pace and gets it and can mow him down. It was a really good performance way out in the center of the track, you know, from the parking lot out there. She rallies to win. So you're right. It probably was the most exciting of all the races at Santa Anita over the weekend.
Now, maybe the most powerful performance of the day was this next one. Run Happy wins 6th. Consecutive race in the Grade One Malibu. We'll try the Met Mile next, so we got a little. You're gonna take a little break for the Met Mile next year, but man, Run Happy! What a story this is.
Yeah, you know, it's a great story, and but sometimes for the wrong reasons. But the right reason is this horse is just an absolute freak. He just toyed with that field, and that was a very good field. I have a feeling 3 or 4 of those horses that ran 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th to Run Happy are going to come back and win races soon. What can you say? Just an incredible performance by a horse that's on another planet right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just an amazing story to think how far this horse has come. You know, the fact that you and I both noticed this horse, took notice, and made the comments that this horse could be pretty good one day. Never did we think it'd be like this, but just took a little time for the horse, a couple tries to get ready, you know, and they tried maybe going long too early. They're going to try that now, it looks like. But since the King's Bishop, it really has just been an unreal. And to win the Breeders' Cup like he did off the pace and then go straight to the front on Saturday and do it with such... just such brilliance, just did it so easily. This horse, you know, a lot of people might disagree, and we did a poll on Twitter earlier this week, and it seems like they do disagree, but you and I both kind of agree here. Run Happy seems like should be the second best three-year-old of this year.
Oh, yeah, he's the second best three-year-old, and I would actually vote him second in the Horse of the Year voting as well, just because I think his brilliance is not matched by anybody other than American Pharoah. I mean, and then you win 6 in a row. He's done it against older horses. He's done it against his, you know, his age group. He's done it at 6. He's done it at 7. It's been an amazing, you know, ride for this horse. And by the way, this horse has done all this. Say what you want about either trainer that this horse has had, but neither one of them are high-profile trainers, you know, like a Baffert or a Pletcher. And this horse has still done all this. So that's really impressive to me.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear about this horse. I mean, this horse has very natural ability. It's pretty evident. It's evident every time he races, to be honest. So I think you and I could train the horse and would be still winning races with him. So... that's how good he is. Now, speaking of Santa Anita, opening day, the crowd was the largest on opening day since 1994, 44,873. How about that?
Oh, that is just something that you know, that just made my day. Horse racing, I think, is starting to make a little bit of a comeback. I think mostly because of American Pharoah. It's kind of got us back in the spotlight, you know, got us talking about horse racing again. And you know, people were mad about him not winning the, you know, athlete of the year or the sports person of the year on Sports Illustrated, but at least he got us back in the conversation, you know. And so that, well, yeah, coupled with the fact that Santa Anita has done a good job promoting themselves, and you know, it was a great crowd. 44,000 I think it was, and man, that's great, and that's what you want to see. There was a time where Oakland Park was the only one that was really drawing that kind of crowd. So I was excited to see that for Santa Anita.
Yeah, and that makes you wonder how Oakland's crowd will be this year. You know, since obviously we were lucky enough to see American Pharoah a couple times at Oakland, you know, they're doing some cool giveaways and different things this year with American Pharoah theme. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see as well, because they get a good attendance all the time anyways. You know, as far as you kind of mentioned the SI Sportsman of the Year or whatever, that's the thing. You know, he lost, I talked to Justin once before earlier this summer after they'd won the Triple Crown. Whenever American Pharoah was up for an ESPY, and he lost to LeBron James, and it's kind of like, well, I mean, an ESPY would have been nice, but we did win the Triple Crown, it's kind of like, it's nice, but the fact that they're talking about him with in the same breath as LeBron James, or this year, even Serena made a comment about, a horse in her speech or whatever, I think. And so, the fact that they're talking about it, and then not to mention the fact that American Pharoah won on the voting, which apparently had no bearing on their vote, but won on the online vote by a landslide. So, I mean, it's people are voting for him,
Oh, yeah.
Even though he lost, that's still great.
Yeah, it is. It is. That was great for racing. And to see that, debate on Twitter, and people that weren't racing, people were on there going, oh, I don't think a horse is a real athlete and this and that, and I don't think he should qualify, and horse racing's not a sport. Even though they're saying that, at least they're talking about the sport, And maybe a few of them will look into it closer and go, well, you know what, maybe it is a sport, and get new fans. I mean, it was a great thing. Even though he lost, it was still good for horse racing.
All right, let's see if this next one's in the next second coming of American Pharoah. Nyquist debut at I knew you'd like that. Nyquist is going to debut in the San Vicente on February 15th. Then he's going to the Florida Derby, then Kentucky Derby. That's the plan. How do you feel about that?
He's not going to be in the Kentucky Derby with that schedule. That's how I feel about that.
Not only that, but you're not going to get any points, son.
No, not at all, because he's going to run in the San Vicente and probably do pretty well. And then he's probably going to go to Florida and not do much and be off the trail and this and that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh. Maybe he can make the Derby with that schedule. But, a 7-furlong race, then all the way across the country to running a mile in an 8th race, I just don't see how those two preps are going to get you ready to run in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing, they go to, Kentucky for the Breeders' Cup and then back home and then run at home, then go to Florida, and then go to Florida back to Kentucky. They'll probably go back to, they might ship them directly to Kentucky, or they might go home and then Kentucky, but yeah, it's a lot of shipping for, not really much to write home about. Yeah, they have the points, they don't need very many points really anymore for him, but still, it's a little interesting. You and I both thought this horse was going to stay in California up until the Kentucky Derby. So that's a little surprising.
And that's why I drafted him, because I thought he would win 3 races in Kentucky or in California. I'm sorry, but right. Nope.
Yep.
Not to be.
Yeah. Speaking of California, California Chrome is set to return January 9th. So we're just about a week away from that in the San Pasquale Stakes. And Dortmund looks like he might rival him in that race. So that should be a fun return for California Chrome.
Oh, man, now that's going to be something else. And now let's hope Dortmund doesn't dodge another big race. He kind of dodged the Clark, and then he kind of dodged the Malibu. Let's hope that they really run him there, because Dortmund versus California Chrome the second week in January, that's a hell of a way to kick off the year. that could be two of the best older horses in the country, and maybe in the country period, regardless of age. So, yeah, that would be great. And California Chrome said to be working out extremely well, and we know Dortmund's doing well from the races we've seen from him. So that could be exciting.
Let me tell you guys, you need to be ready by January 9th, because from there you have obviously Oakland starts January 15th, and you have the Smarty that weekend or that on Monday. Which will be obviously great racing. And then from there, we have February 6th, which is Champion Songbird looks to come back. And then February 15th, we just talked about it, Nyquist's race. And so, yeah, it's going to be weekend after weekend of great racing. Songbird set to return from her dominant ways in the Grade 2 Las Virginas February 6th. What's interesting about this horse, and you drafted her, they're being extremely careful. On an article we posted on our website, the quote was kind of like, yes, that's the plan, but it literally has to go perfect up until then for it to happen.
Right. And they should be extremely careful because she's extremely, insanely even talented. So be very careful. Don't rush her. There's no need to rush her. But listen, if she runs in this race, you know, they're going to have to pay horses to enter. Like, who would want to enter to try to face her here? I certainly wouldn't. So she'll go off at 1-9 and win by 20 lengths in this race if she runs in it.
Yeah, she should be about like an ATM all year long, you know, any of these races out there in California, because they're just going to enter her and collect checks, and it's going to be fun. So,
yeah,
hopefully, you know, you'd like to see them try, and, I, you know, even for your sake, for having your team, I'd like to see them try, at least try in the Kentucky Derby, you know, one prep in the Kentucky Derby. That'd be fantastic. I mean, here's the thing. If, you know, not to say Nyquist could you know, we've both been on record for a long time saying Songbird is far and away better than Nyquist, but the fact that Nyquist isn't going to be there anyways, you know, if the San Diego Derby comes up weak, why not give it a go? I mean, say More Spirit comes to Oakland. I mean, what's going to really scare you out there?
I mean, if you're Songbird, say More Spirit stays at Santa Anita.
Well, yeah.
Are you scared of him? You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping that they give it a shot, obviously. That's why I drafted her, because I do think she can beat any of them.
And last but not least, Oakland Park, 2 weeks away, just a little over 2 weeks away from right now. We talked about it a little bit. You know, everyone knows this. We're Oaklanders. We love it. Cannot wait. We'll be there opening the entire opening Friday through Monday. But I have to mention that, you know, it's almost here, and this is the best time of the year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that January 15th, I've been counting it down ever since the Breeders' Cup ended, because that's the next big thing on my calendar, and Oakland does it right. Free admission again to Oakland Park this season, that's great for people, and you know, starting it off with a four-day weekend, there will be, you know, so many local favorites that are going to be running. And then, of course, it all caps off with the Smarty Jones, where we get the first look at the local horses. And you know what? You know, American Pharoah didn't run in the Smarty Jones, but a three-year-old champion Will Take Charge started his campaign in the Smarty Jones. So it's not like, you know, it's not like there's going to be weak horses there. Smarty Jones has produced some really good caliber horses.
Oh, yeah, and definitely just sets the table for what we could, like you say, what we could see for the rest of the year as far as the locals go. But, yeah, of course, we'll have tons of coverage on that at racingdudes.com, so make sure you know, continue to follow it. We cannot wait. Counting down the days. Some of you might count down to Christmas or whatnot. We go right on through Christmas. We're still counting down to Oakland.
Oh, yeah, we don't care about Christmas.
We're very neutral. We love Christmas as well.
No, we love opening day better.
All right, that's the news you missed or may have not have missed while we were gone. Time for rapid fire selections presented by Simple Plays.
Simple Plays, the tip sheet that pays. For a small price, get in on the gambling craze. When you handicap the races and when you make a wager, the goal every time is to cash in major. But if every time you bet, you see your wallet start thinning, racingdudes.com has a way to start winning. Simple Plays, tip sheets you can trust. Even experts agree using them is a must. Whether they bet the Preakness or bet an allowance, our Simple Plays tip sheets have made players thousands. You might think they're expensive and don't give a bleep, but that's not the case. They're incredibly cheap. Even Nick Zito had to say neato when he heard about the Racing Dudes tip sheeto. So you want to start increasing your wealth? Buy Simple Plays. It pays for itself. Simple Plays. The tip sheet you can cash in on. Simple Plays. Now at racingdudes.com. Simple Plays. Tip sheets that experts use.
Saturday, Aqueduct Race 8, the Jerome Stakes, the Grade 3, worth $200,000 for three-year-olds. It's funny saying for three-year-olds. They're now two-year-olds because we're recording this in 2015. But come the time of this race, they will be three-year-olds. Three-year-olds, 1 mile and 70 yards, field of nine. What do you think of this one?
To me, this one's pretty easy. And I say that and then I'll probably get, you know, bit. But I think number four, Flexibility, is a clear standout in this field. I think he gets it done. I think this is Chad Brown's Derby horse. I think he's got a shot to get this one to the Derby. So Flexibility for me.
Yeah, to me, you know, the only horse to beat Flexibility has been Mohe Man. And he's done it twice. And they both were very respectable performances by Flexibility. And I really like Moe Man. So obviously, I mean, how can I pick against Flexibility when I really like Moe Man? and that's the only horse to beat Flexibility. He did it twice, and they're both respectable. There's lots of speed in this race. I think Flexibility will be able to sit off of it and pounce at the end. Flexibility for me as well. Let's head to Gulfstream Park, race three on Saturday, the Hutchinson Stakes. It's a grade three. The 100K for three-year-olds, going six furlongs. Field of seven, again, these are two-year-olds currently. These will be three-year-olds when this race is ran. Field of seven, Sheikah Sheiks gets a seven outside hole for Wesley Ward, Rosario on board. You going that direction?
Yeah, I am, and just because I couldn't find anything else to play here. You know, in the first race we talked about, I like Flexibility because I really like him. And here I like Sheikah Sheiks just because I don't like anybody else.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I went into this race planning to beat this horse, and you know, you just can't do it, really. Two for three lifetime, with the only loss coming from the mile, that mile in 116th race. Other than that, he's undefeated at six furlongs, and here we are, six furlongs. I do think the four, no holding back Bear, a horse that he's faced before, I think that horse scares me a little bit. I feel like with a little bit better trip last time, that may have had a bit, you know, at least a little different outcome. That would be the one concern for me. I'd probably play both of them on any of my multis, but Sheikah Sheiks for me for the win. Race four, the Old Hat Stakes, grade three. Worth 100K for Phillies, three-year-olds going six furlongs. Boy, this race feels like an Old Hat race.
Yeah, you said that before we came on, and I didn't know if you're going to do it on air or not. That's pretty funny. Yeah, it's a shitty race. In the Old Hat usually is an okay race, actually, but not this year. I went with Lucy and Ethel, or Ethel, I guess, either way. I think it's Ethel, actually, because I've seen this horse around. It's Ethel.
It's Ethel.
The five. Undefeated. Ran two races at Parks. Looked pretty good. You know, usually a Park ship or a Gulfstream you're a little worried about, but in this field, not as much. So I'm gonna take a shot with her.
Yeah, man. Me and Ethel, I like that angle as well. I'm with you. This race is terrible. If you took off the grade three and the Old Hat and you put a 5,000 claiming, you'd probably believe it, really. I went with Lucy and old Ethel as well. This race is kind of a gross race, really. This horse is undefeated coming from Parks, like you say, Parks to Gulfstream. You'd be worried normally, but two for two. Including that last time out, 13-length win and that allowance, going the same distance. So, in that kind of situation, I'll go with the shipper.
I'll put it to the fans like this. I watch a lot of racing, and so I was ready to handicap the Old Hat, and I looked at this and I thought, okay, the five's the only one I can really, you know, sharply remember. You know, surely once I look at the PPs, I'll go, oh yeah, I remember that horse. No. I don't remember any of the other five even running. So that tells you a lot right there.
The Old Hat is an Old Hat this year, so move on. Race seven, the Dania Beach Stakes is grade three, worth 100K for three-year-olds, going 7.5 furlongs on the turf. Field of 10, or at least have a little bit of class improvement here. Where are you going?
Yeah, I like this race a little bit better, actually. It's a pretty solid race. I went all the way, almost to the outside. Number nine raised the bar. Coming out of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf race, and showing up here in a race that's a lot more logical. That race may have been a little too much, too quick for him, so he's going to come back here and do well, I think. So Chad Brown gets a win here with Raise the Bar.
Man, dude, I that's my pick. I was thinking I was going to be kind of sneaky here with the other Chad Brown. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm going with number nine, Raise the Bar. The horse only has two starts. You kind of covered it. Two starts in the U.S. One first out at Ascot, actually, going seven furlongs before coming to the U.S. Then they came to Belmont and nearly won that. It was a Pilgrim, and that was going a mile. That was going a mile in 16th, the extremely troubled trip. But I was pretty impressed. Then it went to Breeders' Cup, non-effort. Write that one off. A little too much, but it does have some talent clearly. It's Chad Brown, it's the turf, and you know, if you get a little bit better trip here going on a little bit wider, maybe you get out of trouble. Castellano's back on board. I thought I was being sneaky, but apparently not. Raise the bar for me.
Hey, I want to say one more thing before we move on to Santa Anita. In the fifth race at Gulfstream, this is a stakes race, but it's non-graded, so we're not going to talk about it. But I want to point out my Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf pick, number 10, Price to Perfection, is back and running in this race. And that was the horse that had ran in a maiden like 10 days before the Breeders' Cup and looked really good. Obviously, just crazily overmatched. Probably never should have picked him, but I thought he had a ton of talent. He's back in a non-graded stakes at Gulfstream. So price perfection. Keep an eye on that horse, the fifth race at Gulfstream on Saturday.
Hey, good eye. I remember extensive conversations about that horse in the hotel room in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true. We did have some long talks, and nothing came about it that day, but I still think he's going to be pretty decent.
Santa Anita Park on Saturday, race three, the Santa Ynez Stakes. It's a grade two. We're 200K for fillies. Three-year-olds going 6.5 furlongs. Field of eight in this one. A horse that earlier in the year we thought was maybe one of the better three-year-olds, I guess, now when we're going to be talking whenever this race runs. Pretty and Cool, kind of maybe not so much. Maybe more of a sprinter, and that seems like where Bob Baffert is placing her. Pretty and Cool, the 7 horse. Bob Baffert has two other ones in this race. So Baffert has 3 of the 8. Were you going with one of them?
Yeah, I went with Pretty and Cool because of the distance only. I think at 6.5 furlongs, she's probably one of the best in the country at her age. But anything longer, I think she starts to get a little tired. She ran pretty good last time out.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Just hit the wall, you know?
Yeah, she looked good, really, that whole race until what you would expect. You know, we didn't think she could get that distance anyway, and she didn't. But she ran pretty good up until the distance limitation, so... and the other, he's rolling her out here pretty quickly, and you know, not too much of a setback at all. So I think, you know, going into this race, I kind of told myself I was going to pick against her. But just with the distance and just, you know, she is a very class. She's the classiest horse in the race. Multiple graded stakes winner. Pretty and Cool for me as well. Race six, the Midnight Loot Stakes, grade three with 100K for 4-year-olds and up, going 6.5 furlongs, field of 7. Where are you going here?
This is a tough one for me because I really like Seattle Serenade, who draws the 1, and Salutos Amigos, who draws the 7, which is the outside post. I ended up landing on Salutos Amigos. I kind of think he's rounding back into some pretty solid form. So I think he'll come out here and run pretty well. Going to be tough, though. Seattle Serenade, he's kind of the new shooter, and he is kind of the rising star.
Yeah, that's kind of the angle I went with this one. I went with Seattle Serenade for that reason. You look at here, and this horse is two years younger than pretty much all of them in this race. I feel like whereas with the other ones, we've kind of seen the best of what they have to offer. Seattle Serenade, undefeated, 2-for-2, trained by Hollendorfer. Loves this distance, but we've still like you're still kind of learning about this horse, and I feel like both efforts have been better. You know, the last one was better than the first one, and I think this one might be even better than the last one. So I feel like this horse is on the uptick, where these other ones are kind of we know what they are. So I'm gonna take a little. I guess it's not really a shot. I think the horse is a great horse, but number one, Seattle Serenade. Race eight, the San Gabriel Stakes, it's a grade two worth 200K for 4-year-olds and up, going 1.8 miles on the turf. This one would be fun. 14 with the also entries. 11 outside of that running. This is a wide open race. I mean, why as wide as it gets. Where are you going?
This one's going to be really tough. You got to use a lot of horses. I went with the class angle. I took, obviously, the 8 horse.
You obviously picked obviously? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That was really lame. I went with my horse, and that's Ball of Ball. You know that horse, right?
Oh God, I almost picked that horse.
Ball of Bali. This horse, I don't know why I pick him because he will undoubtedly let me down. This is what he does. But I even put in my notes, I can't believe I'm picking this horse. But, you know, this distance, I think it might finally be perfect for this horse. You know, before coming to the U.S., the horse couldn't lose going long. I mean, this horse was running 1.5 miles, 1.25 miles. Then they come to the U.S., and it's not ran over 1.16 miles. So now finally getting 1.8 miles, that should be the secret weapon. Mandela hits at 32%, third off a layoff, which is what Balabali's coming off of. So those angles alone, hopefully this horse continues to stretch out well like he used to before he came to the United States. So I landed on 7 Balabali. The final rankings of the Racing Dudes divisional rankings of 2015 are out, posted on racingdudes.com on December 29th. by yours truly, Aaron Halterman. We've posted the main categories, older male, older females, top sprinter, top three-year-old, you know, all that kind of stuff. We're going to run through our winners and maybe any that were worth mentioning. So we'll start with the older males. Halterman, I'll let you do the first one here. Who won older male?
Yeah, honor code for me, close, but honor code, you know, had the head-to-head win over Liam's Map and also ran in the classic where Liam's Map ran in the dirt mile. So I don't think it was really that close. I think honor code easily number one.
Yeah, Liam's Map, you know, it'd be interesting to see, like, if Liam's Map would have won, would have beat honor code that day, would you have given it to Liam's Map?
Yes, I definitely would have.
So ultimately, the voting came down to that race, that finish.
It pretty much did. It ended up, you know, I wouldn't have guessed that, you know, when it happened, but it did, because obviously Share Belief didn't run again. Tonalist never made a huge, you know, push, and then California Chrome never ran again. So it really came down to those two, and you know, Honor Code got him, whether you thought it was a jockey error or not in that race. Honor Code got the job done, so he's your older male of the year.
Yeah, and we won't be seeing either one of these. Well, it's unfortunate. Out of the older males, you have Honor Code, Liam's Map, Share Belief, Tonalist, California Chrome. California Chrome is the only one we're going to see this year, so in 2016. So that's sad, but this is the way it goes, I guess.
Yeah, that's racing, I guess.
Older females, and by the way, go to the website. We have what we thought was the best race by the winner of each winner. The replay is posted on the article as well, which is really cool. Older female, this one, I don't know how you can go anywhere else. Beholder clearly wins this category.
Yeah, Beholder clearly wins it. Tappan is clearly second too, because she kind of had a surge there late, but yeah, it's Beholder. She was awesome, and she's coming back, and will probably do the same thing again. In 2016, I think she'll be right up there number one again.
So probably in the most surprising one, the three-year-old males, Keen Ice just narrowly beat American Pharoah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. American Pharoah, yeah, obviously number one. You know, I think that's obviously the biggest, the easiest winner, but I think 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, you could debate for a while. In my opinion, you can't. Run Happy second, but Keen Ice third, Frosted fourth, Dortmund fifth. You could flip-flop those any other way there. And, you know, those four horses that I just mentioned are coming back. So that could be – it could really make for an interesting 2016, because Run Happy is definitely a freak. And Keen Eyes, Frosted, and Dortmund are nothing to sneeze at. So those horses will be interesting.
Yeah, I think American Pharoah will be number one forever when it comes to three-year-old males.
Right, yeah, I think he'll be number one this year, too, for three-year-old male.
Yeah, that's a good point. Three-year-old female, Lady Eli, wins this one, which is interesting just because we know how great she was. Obviously, back in training now after recovering from laminitis, which is fantastic. But, you know, a horse that really didn't run at all, you know, like only ran half the season. No other horse in that division ever made enough of a move to beat her.
Yeah, that's the thing. Nobody really stepped up. Listen, you could go 100 different ways here, and I wouldn't really argue. Lady Eli didn't have much of a season, but, you know, I'm a chatterbox, never quite could get that big win. Stellar win, maybe if she would have won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic, which I thought she was going to there for a long time in the stretch.
Yeah.
You could make a case for her, but she never really had the resume behind her anyway. Never really got to run in any of the big races past the Kentucky Oaks and then at the Breeders' Cup. In between wasn't much. So, yeah, I tried, but I just think Lady Eli deserves that award. She's definitely the most talented three-year-old filly in the country by far.
Yeah, to me, it comes down to talent. I mean, that's what it should be about. It shouldn't be who ran the whole year, even though the mediocre. Lady Eli clearly was at a different level. I mean, Lady Eli was running, you know, like we saw Tepin late in the year, was really running like American Pharoah, but for her division and things of that nature. So this is a horse that was a complete freak and superstar. So what she did, I think nothing could surpass that. Stellar Wind was a horse that we liked, but clearly you can't put her up there in the talks of Lady Eli. So I no argument here for me. The next one, pretty clear one as well. Sprinters, Run Happy wins this one. Private Zone second. You know, those are the two, the fin, you know, 1-2 in the sprint there, the Breeders' Cup, and Run Happy was victorious, so you've got to put Run Happy on top.
Yeah, and they showed their class. They were much better than anybody else. So, I mean, there's just no debating it. Very, very easy. Run Happy, Private Zone.
Really, you know, these next few ones, are, and really there's been a lot of them this year, your top ones pretty easily then go down below, and it could get, you could go a thousand different ways. Two-year-old Mel's, Nyquist, I mean, how, you know, the horse can't lose. I mean, this is a horse that's undefeated and champion of the division and won the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, it's so Nyquist clearly, but when you go past that, you could go however many ways you want. Right now, we have Swipe 2, Mohe Man 3, Exaggerator 4, and Brody's Cause 5. But, I mean, you can still look at someone else's list and they'll have, you know, four other horses below Nyquist.
Yeah, and to me, I don't know how you can rank, if you're going to rank Nyquist a clear number one, I don't know how Swipe is in a clear number two, because he's almost beat the horse how many times now. So I think he definitely deserves to be two. Mo Heyman has won big races, but he didn't win the biggest one, and he didn't even compete in it. So you have to put him three behind those, and then you kind of go down from there. But, you know, in the end, two through five don't really matter, because Nyquist is definitely going to be your two-year-old colt of the year.
Right. Yeah. And then the next one, probably the easiest one besides Bianca Ferro, and that's two-year-old females. Songbird wins this one. Rachel Valentina is second, but it's not close. It's not even a little bit close. Songbird, and if you wanted to combine two-year-old period, Songbird would be number one.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I urge people to go watch the replay of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies that you put on the post there, and just to watch this, because this horse is a freak. I mean, she's freakish. She looks like a male out there, and she just dominates this field. And I think Rachel's little girl, Rachel's Valentina, is a pretty nice horse, and she never even could get close to Songbird in this race.
Songbird, it went into that race, was a different horse, and came out of the race a completely different horse. I mean, she went from a fantastic horse to maybe a super, like not a superstar, but like one we'll remember for a very, very long time. That's how good she won that race.
I think she's a superstar. I think you said it right the first time.
Well, I hope so. You know, we've been calling out that horse for a while for being the best two-year-old. And I mean, how great would it be to say that, you know, back in September, whenever it was, saying Songbird is the best two-year-old, period. And I mean, I would hate it for my points, because if Songbird wins the Kentucky Derby, but wouldn't that be great?
No, I think that'd be 2 years in a row we identified the best two-year-old in September, don't you think?
Yeah, no. Hey, that's a good point. Now going as far as predicting the Triple Crown, I don't know if I'll do that this year.
No, I don't think Songbird is winning the Triple Crown, but but you never know. You never know.
Songbird, Swipe, and then who is he? I'll put Mr. Z to win the Belmont.
Oh man, Mr. Z, he's coming back to Oakland. Yeah, I hope you know that. We're gonna see him at Oakland.
Great. That's it. Check us out at racedudes.com for our free picks, and our simple play is available every day for Aqueduct, Gulfstream Park, and Santa Anita Park, soon to be Oakland Park. We have best plays, value plays, race plays, BetMix Command Center, and products from Guaranteed Tip Sheet. We're currently covering 15 tracks, all offering free picks, so check that out. We're on Twitter at @racing_dudes, LinkedIn, Google Plus, and Facebook. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. Hey, good luck to your Sooners tomorrow, dude.
Thank you. We're going to need it. We all the luck we can get.
Hopefully, when people listen to this, the results will already be final. So hopefully this is not people hear that and they're like, oh, hopefully it's all right.
Well, I'm very confident that we can win this game tomorrow night. Now, after that, I'll be a little bit more worried, because I think Michigan State and Alabama are very, very good. But I think we match up pretty well with Clemson. But we'll see.
All right. Good luck, Sooners, and everyone, good luck this week. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.